all of us turning in our nicely printed and bound Bibles in our own language, as we've been enjoying learning about in our 9:30 adult Bible study. If you haven't been able to come to that, I would highly recommend it. It's been very encouraging and informative and exciting to think about what God has done to bring His Word to us. All right, in preparation for the message this morning, Philippians chapter 1, we'll read the first 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come now. We have your sermon handout for you, but it was a little too big to put in the worship guide. Go ahead, guys. Come on down. So they should be bringing those to you. I don't know if we have quite enough for every single person to have one. If I did a quick head count, I could tell you, but I don't think I'm going to pull that off. So we'll see. Try to get them to as many people as we can. I am really proud of our church family. Of course, many of you had Christmas Eve events you were at other places, and we have a bunch of people out of town right now, but we still had about 35 from our church family there on Christmas Eve who pulled off 3 hours and 45 minutes of live music, almost nonstop. So I don't know, are we supposed to say we're proud? Is that a bad Christian thing to say? I just kept thinking to myself, I'm so proud of my church family. I was so excited for what you did. And so special thanks to Christine Fontes for her great work organizing the music and the fudge. Now that's multi-talented right there, right? If you can pull off music and fudge, a true Renaissance woman. Thanks to the Matarazzos for coming early to help, and for Kyle for running the board, soundboard for like 2.5 hours. And to the Osbournes for staying late to help. To some of the musicians, as I worked back through the video, it became clear which ones of you played over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know who you are because you can't feel your lips this morning. I'm thankful for you and your work. Thankful for some of the kids who did a great job manning the booth and handing out drinks and fudge. And thankful for those of you who are out there on the sidewalk just greeting the people who wanted to stop and introducing them to our church. And then yesterday, Crystal and her dad took down the stable, which 10 men had put up. So, no, not an insult to the men. Just a compliment to my wife and my father-in-law. So, other people I could thank. But hey, we have extras. Who didn't get one that would like one? $5. Down here. Back there. Anybody else? Down here. Oh, we got lots of people. Kyle, you're popular. Okay. So for those of you who weren't able to join us Christmas Eve, I hope you had the Lord granted some strength and encouragement and joy in Christ for you in whatever situations you were in. We have several families out of town today, but I'm excited to look at Ephesians 6:18 together with you. So this morning's message, what I have here is I preach for 3 Sundays here And then I don't preach for 2 Sundays because I'm doing all of the teaching at the community seminar and Restore Study starts. So Pastor Eric Ray will be preaching 2 Sundays in a row. But I've got 3 Sundays here first. And so I'm going to preach a three-part New Year's sermon series for us, introducing a focus for us as we go into a new year. And then after those 2 weeks that Pastor Eric preaches, I will resume our series on sin. So these three messages will each be summarized by one word. Really simple: this morning prayer, next Sunday change, the next Sunday praise, and I'll connect those three words together as we go along. But this morning we're just going to consider a call to prayer. So let's stop and ask for the Lord's help before we look at that. Father, we need you. Thank you for good prayers that we had the opportunity to pray. Thank you for hymn writers who help us with that. And we do long for it to be true that nothing would be anything to us apart from you. So make yourself our vision and help us to hear your call to us this morning. Lord, without the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ working through us, these things are without hope. So we turn our hope to you. We open empty hands and we say, Lord, would you give to people who need your gifts? And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. A call to prayer is heard 5 times a day across the Muslim world. They try to space their mosques and their minarets in such a way that nobody is out of the reach of the sound. I've only heard that myself just the days that I was in Istanbul, but I imagine that it must be hundreds of millions of people. I don't know, maybe as many as 1 billion people. There are well over 1 billion Muslims. So how many of them live in places where they hear that call to prayer 5 times a day? I'm not trying to speak supportively of that, but it is interesting for Christians to, knowing our own struggle with prayer, to think, wouldn't be too bad if some prayer 5 times a day, would it? Might be useful. You know, some types of prayer are pretty simple and natural. You know, many people will pray when they're in crisis. But many of the most important types of prayer take work and discipline and self-control and planning and focus. And so it's just a very easy work to procrastinate on, to set aside, to ignore, to forget. So maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing if as Christians we had someone calling us to pray several times a day. But related to that, one thing that's true is if we're faithful in the Bible, we'll find God himself calling us to pray all the time. And so I want us to look at one of those calls to prayer this morning, Ephesians 6:18. You can look at it with me in your handout. You're welcome to turn there in your Bible if you'd like. And I just want to simply explain and apply what this verse says this morning and then give you a tool that you could use to try to put this into practice during the next month. So first of all, you see in Ephesians 6:18, read the words together with me, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So you see there 4 words for prayer. You have praying, prayer, supplication, and then again, supplication. And 2 Greek words represented there, both are fairly general terms for prayer. The first one can be used often by Paul to refer to prayer for others. You know, we often call that intercession, praying on behalf of other people. The second word carries the idea of a sense of need. So it's kind of like a plea. The ESV uses the word supplication. When I read the word supplication, I think of the English word supply. And to my great disappointment, I looked them up and they're not related. But can we pretend, just because it helps me remember the meaning here? Supply. If I need a supply, if I've run out of something, then I'm going to ask somebody else who has it. For the past 5 years, we've had the privilege of living 100 yards away from good friends. First the Wilkinsons and now the Bixby's. And it's not at all uncommon for our kids to run to their house or their kids to run to our house making supplication. Because we've run out of our supply of eggs or baking soda or whatever, syrup or whatever it might be. And so we run down to their house and we make supplication. Help, we have a need. Now, of course, we could run to the store, but they're just 100 yards away and that's easier. But when we talk about prayer, you can't just run to the store. when you are repeatedly turning to an addictive sin, you can't just run to the store and buy the answer, though they'll probably sell you something to try to help. When you find that you cannot control your temper or control your tongue, when you're overcome with fear or discouragement, when you have no idea what to do next, when you're out of strength or when you're out of hope, you can't just run to the store and get what you need. You have to turn to God and you have to make supplication. You need supply. So prayer comes from need. So we have two words here, prayer and supplication. General words for prayer, but with the nuances of intercession and need. But now look at the last words in the verse. For all the saints. Saints, all of them. Not referring, of course, to the Roman Catholic conception of saints, because then you'd be praying for dead people who have all the merit they need already. The headlines have been about Mother Teresa. Saints, in the biblical sense, of course, doesn't mean anything like that. It means ones who have been set apart. It means every true Christian who has been born again, set apart by God for himself. It's saying, pray for all of God's people. Now, that might be referring to praying generally for all Christians. Paul does say elsewhere, pray for all men. But I think here it's a lot more likely that Paul is referring to all the Christians whom they know, especially in their church. Back in Ephesians 1:15, Paul referred to their love for all the saints. And I don't think he was talking about their love for the universal church. I think he was talking about their love for all the Christians that they know, all the Christians that are part of their life, all the Christians that are part of their church family. So the point is, don't leave out any of them in your love or in your prayers. You ought to be praying for all the saints. Now, if you were in a great big huge church family, you'd have a good excuse because you haven't even met a lot of those people. But here in this size church family, it's pretty reasonable for you to pray for all the saints in the sense of this church family. And so what I'm doing this morning is I'd like to ask you to do that. I'm calling you to pray. I'm challenging you, if you aren't already, to obey Ephesians 6:18 and pray for all the saints. Now, the context in Ephesians 6 motivates us to pray for all the saints. There are some places in the New Testament where you have just kind of like a series of somewhat disconnected commands that are only loosely related, like rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, don't quench the Spirit. But Ephesians 6:18 is not like that. It's not just an independent command floating by itself. It's part of this challenge about the armor of God. Look with me at it, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So you can see that verse 18 fits into a flow of thought, and we could spend months studying the context. But what I want to point out this morning is that this context should motivate you to pray for all the saints. And the reason is this: all the saints are under attack. That's what ought to motivate you to pray. The grammar of the passage could work in a couple different ways. One way it could work is if you put together verses 16 through 18. So take up the shield of faith, take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, praying. When you do those things, praying and keeping alert. Or I think it may be better to put it with a verb in verse 14. Stand therefore praying and keeping alert. Stand praying and keeping alert. But either way, this is battle language. This is war talk. All the saints are under attack. Verse 11, the devil has schemes. He has vicious, deceptive plans against you. Roskopf calls them cunning strategies. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? 75-year-olds, do you believe the devil still has cunning strategies? 15-year-olds, can you coast through life? Or does he have cunning strategies? If you had a terrible Christmas week, does he have cunning strategies for how to take advantage of that? If you had a great Christmas week and got everything you wanted, does he have cunning strategies? Who's exempt? Verse 16, the evil one has flaming darts. You know, flaming darts aren't just traps. He doesn't just set traps wondering if you'll stumble into them. He throws things at you. And they're not good things. They're damaging, destructive, burn you up kind of things. All the saints are under attack. It says in verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Why? Because he's not afraid to attack in any circumstance. Sick, tired, weak, weary, not sleeping well, hopeless, frustrated, discouraged. He has no shame about attacking when you're the most vulnerable. All the saints are under attack. He's attacking your faith, your obedience, your spiritual progress. The spiritual progress that we want to see in ourselves and in the lives of others in our church family is being actively opposed by an enemy. Last week we talked about edifying and building up and God giving us the gifts of His Spirit that we might build one another up. But that very act of building up is being actively opposed. It's like there's a general manager on the construction project and there's also a general manager of deconstruction at the same time. And they're both at work. So who do you see that is making poor decisions, mishandling situations? Maybe they're under attack. Who do you see that seems to not be as wise or holy as they should be? Maybe they're under attack. Who seems too quiet or too sullen or short or harsh? Maybe they're under attack. Who are you upset at, annoyed at, frustrated with? Maybe they're under attack. Maybe you are too. Maybe flaming darts are landing and causing damage. So what do we do when we see spiritual needs? The right response is not frustration or anger or self-righteousness, but supplication. Make supplication for all the saints. I'm preaching this message this morning partly because I am aware of from my little human perspective, an especially intense amount of need in our church family right now. And I realize that at any given moment, I probably know more about what's going on in our church family than anybody else by virtue of being pastor and having more contact with you. And the amount that I know at any given moment is only a small portion of what's actually going on, right? And so here's been my experience the last few weeks. For my own personal praying, I have requests divided up by different days of the week. But then a couple different places in my prayer list, I have sections of more urgent requests that I try to pray for every day. And what I've observed the last few weeks is that my urgent section keeps growing and growing. And it's not requests for other people in other places. I'll just be honest with you. I don't have time to pray for other people in other places very often. I've got all of you to pray for. And the daily burdens are here. The requests are here. And I keep getting more and more and more things that I want to put on my everyday prayer list. So that's the motivation for this sermon. That's why I'm preaching this. This isn't an old New Year's sermon I preached out to save time this week. I wanted to come to you this morning and call you to pray for all the saints. So we've seen the command to prayer for all the saints. We've seen the motivating context that all the saints are under attack. And finally, Ephesians 6:18 gives us several necessary characteristics of our prayers. Look at the verse again. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So let's just work through those phrases. First of all, praying at all times. This directs us to pray in and about all sorts of situations. I think that's the best understanding of the word times here, not in the sense of like times of the day or praying all day long. But the point is, in all types of situations, you should be praying. And what that reminds me of is that we sometimes, as Christians, we have a kind of a built-up collection of common things we pray for. Like you come to Grace Group and you can guess that most of the Grace Group requests will be in the same five general categories because it's just the stuff we usually pray for, right? And sometimes we need to break out of that and pray about all sorts of situations. And let me just make up an example of a time of life that we would kind of naturally pray for and a time of life we might easily neglect. So let's say a woman is pregnant, and what do you pray for? Well, it's a very common thing to talk about praying for a safe delivery. And so everybody's talking about that, and everybody's excited about a baby, and lots of people are praying for a safe delivery, and then the baby comes, and everybody celebrates. And what about the time that comes after that? You know, when mom's body's going through this major physical healing, she just had a human being in her and now she doesn't any longer. All these big hormonal readjustments. She's not getting more than a couple hours of sleep at once. It's hard to think straight, to read your Bible or pray. You might have to miss church services, you know, if baby gets a runny nose or something. You're in the nursery a whole lot more than you used to be in the nursery, so you're missing lots of church. Her husband finds out that he doesn't have nearly as much of his wife's attention as he used to have. And the question is, who's praying for them in that time? Yeah, lots of people prayed for a safe delivery and were excited to find out it was 7 pounds, 14 ounces. But then what? Then what? We pray for a child going off to college, but we could also pray for the parents who are going through a big transition into a new season of life. We pray for people to get work, but we could also pray for people who are retiring and trying to handle the new challenges of life after work. We pray for a soldier to be safe on his deployment, but then who will pray for the difficult personal and family dynamics after he gets home? Pray at all times, all types of scenarios, all sorts of situations. Also then, pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I don't think it's like a warm, fuzzy feeling you get, like, I'm praying in the Spirit. We could take what the New Testament tells us about what the Spirit does and make all kinds of different connections about what it might mean to pray in the Spirit. A lot of the commentators connect it to Romans 8, which tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness when we pray and intercedes for us. Here in Ephesians 6, there's a real clear connection, right? Do you see the Spirit connection between verses 17 and 18 in Ephesians 6? You see it there? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying in the Spirit. So part of what praying in the Spirit means is praying according to God's word and with your heart soaked in God's word. So we could keep going with lots of different connections, but I think I would summarize praying in the Spirit by just saying prayer is part of a healthy relationship with God and his word. It's part of a real relationship with God by his Spirit through his word. Prayer is not a ritual that you do to accomplish something. Just this week, I had a patient in the hospital. Well, I had multiple patients this week telling me, you know, about all the people praying for them. But then this one lady in particular was telling me about all the people of different faiths that are praying for her. She's so confident that she has so many people of different faiths praying for her that she actually listed the only faiths she could think of in which she did not have someone praying for her. She told me she didn't have a Sikh or something else praying for her. And that sounds like prayer is a religious ritual where you pop coins in a Coke machine and out pops a can. And the more people who pop coins in for you, the more cans you're going to get, something like that. And that is not at all how prayer works. Praying in the Spirit means that prayer is an activity by Spirit-filled people, people who've been given the Spirit of God in salvation, who are soaking their hearts in the sword of the Spirit, which is His Word, and out of that real relationship with God, they are talking to God, they are pleading with God. So pray in the Spirit. It's part of a healthy relationship with God and His Word. The next characteristic then is the phrase, all prayer. And most likely that refers to all types of prayer. Prayers for physical needs, prayers for spiritual needs, prayers for wisdom and spiritual growth and conviction and hope and encouragement and comfort and protection and enlightenment and revival and prayers about loving the Word and prayers about learning to pray and all kinds of prayer. We've all had the experience of feeling like you were just kind of getting stuck in a rut and you're praying the same thing. And Paul's exhorting us to pray all types of prayer. And there's a great tool for this that Pastor True gave us this summer. The end of July, he preached and taught, and he had a handout that is several pages of ideas of learning from Bible prayers. It's a great way to expand your praying and pray all kinds of prayers. So if you don't have a copy of that, I don't know. Some of you probably have that saved. I still have my copy. But if you don't, just talk to him or to me, and I would love to send that to you. And it will help you get out of our tendency to kind of narrowness in our praying that can then start to feel like a rut, praying the same things over and over again. So pray all kinds of prayers, Paul says, and then keep alert. You might miss key moments to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ if you're not alert. You know, if fiery darts are flying at somebody else, we don't want to have our back turned and miss it. Now, again, I recognize that there's always stuff going on that you're not going to know about. And this is not a call to be spies on each other's business. But sometimes we miss big things that we should have noticed. Sometimes there are things going on in the lives of other people, and we hear what they're saying, or we hear about their circumstances, but it doesn't connect. We don't see the time to pray. You understand what I'm saying? You have presented to you one of those times when you should be praying, and we miss it. And so Paul says, keep alert and also allow other people to watch for you, right? Allow other people to be alert on your behalf. So let the call to prayer ring out over and over again so that we keep alert. And then the final characteristic is do it with all perseverance. I'll just quote from a couple commentators. O'Brien says, the meaning here is to persevere as to overcome fatigue. Okay, I'll just take these one at a time. To overcome fatigue. Anybody struggle with tiredness when you pray? Okay, to overcome fatigue or being too tired to have time to pray, or being too tired to get out of bed in the morning to pray, or trying to pray at night and going to sleep. To overcome fatigue, persevere is to overcome fatigue and discouragement. Anybody struggle with getting discouraged about prayer? You can be discouraged because you don't feel like your prayers are getting answered. You can be discouraged because you feel like you don't know what to pray. You can be discouraged because you feel like you haven't been obeying God or paying attention to Him, and so you feel kind of like, why should I be praying? Persevere is to overcome fatigue and discouragement and not to fall into spiritual sleep or complacency. How many of us have struggled with complacency? And even though we see the times to pray, we frankly don't care that much. Honer, in his commentary on Ephesians, says it means to persist obstinately. Obstinately. One of the phrases I found myself using frequently in counseling recently is the phrase, godly stubbornness. There are a lot of things in life that call for a good, godly stubbornness. And this is one of them. Be really devoted to this. Be obstinate. Be stubborn about prayer. It's that godly stubbornness that keeps you praying even through busy holidays. It won't let an unusual life schedule keep you from praying. It's that godly stubbornness that keeps praying when you're tired. You know those silly things some of us did in school to try to keep ourselves awake during class? Maybe we need to utilize some techniques to keep ourselves awake when we pray, right? That would be godly stubbornness that says, I'm not just going to fall asleep 30 seconds into my praying again. I'm going to do something to keep myself awake. Godly stubbornness that works through the prayer list even when you don't feel like it. I'll tell you one of the challenges I run into. I look at that prayer list and I feel so overwhelmed. And even though I know that it's God's work and I'm supposed to be casting the anxiety on Him and casting my burdens upon the Lord, I still often just think, Lord, I don't even want to think through this again. And if I pray about it, I got to think about it. Godly stubbornness says, no, I've got to pray about these things. It's a godly stubbornness that recognizes my own tendency to quit and says, by God's grace, I'm not quitting. It's a godly stubbornness that knows that I tend to drift toward praying a few kinds of prayers at a few times for a few people. And it stubbornly says, no, I'm going to pray all kinds of prayers at all sorts of times for all the saints. See, pray with all perseverance. Do you see the emphasis on the word all in that verse? How many times is it there? Is it four? All times, all prayer, all perseverance, for all the saints. So can I ask you all to join me in praying for all the saints? Oh, how we need it. And we also have a stretch here where our church calendar doesn't include grace groups. So, and it's not that grace groups are sufficient to be all the praying we do. But grace groups help us. They remind us. They point out burdens to us. And when we go through a stretch without grace groups, it's even more difficult for us to pray for all the saints. I think that a standard part of Sunday morning life at our church ought to be the words, what can I pray for you? That ought to be normal Sunday morning conversation among us here. So would you please join me in committing yourself to pray for all the saints? Now, I made this little booklet thing for you in case it might be helpful. And if you've got a system or something, please, I'm not trying to mess up your system. But if you're not praying for all the saints, then I'd encourage you to just give it a try. And this doesn't have to work well, but if it at least gets you started, maybe it'll be useful. So let me just show you the idea here. So first two pages are the notes from this morning. Then there's a blank page for your doodling from this morning. Then there is two pages for you to list everybody in your church family. And so that means you got to work on the names and how to spell the names and things like that. That's a good way to get to know people. So try to build your own list. You can grab a directory. Ask us for a directory if you don't have one. That can help you with that. And make a list of the church family for yourself. If you don't have a list of all the church family, make yourself one. You've got to have it for praying. So here's a place to do that. And then I put in little check boxes there beside them so that you could check off each time you pray for different people to try to help you pray for all the saints. The point is we tend to pray for just a few of the saints, right? And so that's why all those boxes are there. Some of you don't like to check off boxes and keep track of something like that. Some of you love having boxes to check off. So if you're that kind of person, there are boxes for you to use. And then on the next page, you see an example that I just completely made up. But here's the idea. Each day, take three people or families. You'll have to decide how you want to do that. Choose three that you're going to pray for that day. All right? Because it feels really overwhelming to pray for everybody, right? So break it down, and I'm suggesting just pick three hypothetical people like the Robinsons and Bill and Don. And then write down what you're reading in your own Bible reading that day. And let me pause there and say it's the time of the year when people like to try to find Bible reading schedules and get started on that. If you're not doing something consistent in your own Bible reading, then you need to get yourself some sort of schedule and do that right away. And so Bible reading schedules can be useful. If you go to our church Facebook page, last night I posted a link from Ligonier Ministries that has a great big long list of Bible reading plan options you could use. If you go to our church website under the resources tab, there is a page that has some Bible reading plans. And one of the things I like about some of the ones on there is that they're shorter. Most Bible reading plans are designed to take you through the whole Bible, but most of you have probably started those Bible reading plans several times without ever finishing, if you're anything like me. So I like shorter Bible reading plans, like 30-day Bible reading plans, or Abby and I are working on one right now that's 150-day. And it doesn't take you through the whole Bible, it just takes you through portions. But it keeps you going, and it doesn't feel so discouraging when you get to the end of January and you already quit on your reading through the Bible in a year deal. So there are some shorter ones on our church website also, and if I can help you with that, let me know. If you don't have a plan, please, please don't neglect getting one right away. So write down what you're reading in your Bible reading that day, and then write down ideas from that passage of things you could pray for those three people or families that you're going to pray for that day. Take the passage and turn it into prayer. That will help you pray all kinds of prayers. The passages themselves will bring that to mind. And again, there's that handout from Pastor Eric that has a whole bunch of ideas there that are based on Bible passages. So that's it. You just do your own Bible reading. You write down a couple prayer ideas based on your Bible reading. You pick three people in all the saints that you're going to pray for, and you do it. And you do that for 43 days. Do you know why 43 days? Why? Yes, because why waste any space? That's what fit in the booklet. So I know there's spiritual reasons for all these 40-day things, but I said, there's room for 43. Why not? So we're on our 43-day prayer watch here. Okay, did that make sense to everybody? If you've already got a great system for praying for all the saints, then stick with your great system. But for all the rest of us, here's a way to get us started. Now, the one thing that is not on there in each of the daily sections is the particular times that might be related to those people. But I'm intending for you to think that through. When you choose your three people, you're going to ask yourself the question, what do I know about their life right now? Can I think of any things I could pray specifically about them? So you're praying based on the Bible passage, but you're also keeping those people in mind. And remember that phrase, at all times, in all kinds of situations. And so you're thinking to yourself, what kind of situations are those people in? What kind of time of life is it for them? And that can give you ideas for prayer too. All right, so I've called us to pray for all the saints. Next Sunday, I am going to, Lord willing, preach a message about change. And then the third Sunday, we'll preach a message about praise. And we'll connect those three things together. And we'll remind ourselves frequently this year that we are pursuing prayer change and praise. All right, I think that's all of that. Please remember that you can sign up now for the community seminar on forgiveness. And you can pick up invitation cards for the community seminar on forgiveness on the table out there. At the first community seminar, we had several guests that were invited by people in our church family. So that's what we're asking you to do this time also. You can also sign up for the next 10-week Restore study. So if you didn't get to take that last summer, I'd certainly encourage you to sign up to take it now. And I'm going to talk more about both of those things next Sunday morning. All right, we do not gather tonight. No grace groups on the schedule. I've got a leadership meeting with our leadership families at lunchtime. And then my wife and I are headed out of town for a couple nights. So if you need anything Monday or Tuesday, contact one of the other guys. I'll be off the grid, sort of, and then back Wednesday. Because remember, I told you what I really want for Christmas is time with my wife. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this church family, their love for one another, their love for you, their desire to pray. I know that so many of them long to pray faithfully. And I pray that you might grant them that desire, strengthen them with your grace to pray, teach us to pray. And as we come and pray for all the saints, Lord, how desperately we need you to work. There are needs and burdens that are so significant everywhere we turn. And we cry out saying, we don't have the supply we need. So we pray. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Lord bless you. Thank you.